Welcome back. You're listening to This Week on RTE Radio 1 with Justin McCarthy. Next to a murder trial which has gripped the country for the past few weeks. On Wednesday, Richard Satchwell will be sentenced to life in prison for killing his wife Tina at their home in Youghal in County Cork in 2017. He buried her under the stairs and she remained there for more than 6 years. Richard Satchwell gave several tearful interviews in which he denied the murder and pretended that his wife had left the house and never returned.
Tina, come home. Is nobody mad at you? My arms are open. God, he's killing me, Tina, love. Please.
One of the journalists who interviewed him on a number of occasions was Primetime's Barry Cummins, who's produced a special report for Primetime, which will air on Tuesday night. And Barry is with me now. Barry, do you remember what your first impression of Richard Satchwell was when you first met him?
I do, Justin. He was a man who wouldn't make much eye contact that first evening that we met. It was at the house in Youghal. Myself and two colleagues arrived to do an interview by arrangement. So I'd spoken with him on the phone a number of times, and then we were at the door. And he brought us into the front living room. Myself sat down on the couch. And we sat kind of at a bit of an angle, say a 90 degree angle. It was a cramped conditions. The parrot was in the corner. The dogs were not in that room at that time, but there were four of us in the room, and it was dirty, dusty, and we sat at that angle. And he did a long interview. Mm-hmm. We spoke for about 40 plus minutes, but very rarely was there any eye contact. But he was a man who struck. He was a man alone at that time, and he would talk about himself and the impact of himself on himself of Tina's disappearance, or as he said, when she upped and left. And he described the money that he said she had taken. And he went into great detail about that day that she disappeared and his account. Mm. One thing he did say to me, and it's only now that I really see, it's just one of many stories. He told me that day that when Tina got up that morning, he was plastering at the stairs. He later gave different accounts to other people, but certainly there were indications in what he was saying that we just couldn't read at that time.
And that was all part of the concocted story which he stuck to. He played the part of the grieving husband to try to fool people. Why do you think he gave so many interviews?
Well, he was selective in the interviews. They were radio and television mostly. Not exclusively, but I think maybe he felt he could control the narrative in some sense. Maybe he liked the limelight in some way, who knows? But he made those tearful pleas direct to camera. So he started off with me not making eye contact by the time of our last meeting, which was in March 2018. So the first one was November 2017. Jump forward a few months and we were sitting facing directly at each other, and he was maintaining eye contact and he wouldn't look away. And he had no problem with the cameras on him.
He was more confident then at that stage, presumably.
And still sticking to the same story, but there were little bits being added onto it and going off on different tangents. But he certainly wasn't shy of the media. But then after that, the false search, as I call it, the Castle Martyr search, where a big Garda search was underway in Woodland for Tina. And Richard Satchwell obviously knew she wasn't there. Nobody else did. He was doing interviews at that time with me and with others, knowing everybody was on the wrong track. And yet still he went in front of the cameras and said that somebody was hiding Tina or shielding her, and he just wanted her home.
The case was ultimately solved when investigators carried out a full invasive search of his property in October 2023, and they found Tina Satchwell's remains buried under the stairs. But there are questions, aren't there, about why it took so long to find her?
Yeah, there are. And we can see that's the search that should have been done in 2017. Now, the search that was done in June of 2017 was a thorough search for what it was. Gardaí had a warrant on suspicion of assault causing harm. So they went in. 12 hours they spent in that house, about a dozen Gardaí and an expert from Forensic Science Ireland. He was brought down to do this luminol search where they bring down the lights or have special lights and they're looking for blood in the house. No sign of blood found that time. But Tina was there all that time, buried beneath the stairs. And certainly questions about that they didn't pull apart the walls, dig up the floors. It was known he was doing renovations in the house at that time, yet still Tina was officially a missing person. And we can see the limitations when somebody is a missing person compared to when it then becomes a murder investigation.
I know you have a special programme on this on Tuesday night on Prime Time, and you spoke to the people who were involved in that second search, the one that uncovered Tina's remains. What did they tell you about their role?
Well, there were builders involved. So Gardaí got loads of experts in, the forensic archaeologists primarily, who retrieved Tina's body from beneath the soil in under the stairs. But the builders were contracted in, four men, to basically use Kango hammers, use all the equipment, because this was an excavation that was going to happen. I spoke with James McNamara, who happens to be the man who got down on his hands and knees under the stairs. He had used a Kango hammer to drill beneath the concrete, and turns out it was just a thin layer of concrete. He was expecting more. Then he found it was soil. It was such a small confined space. He had a trowel that he was using. That was too big in itself. And he then used his hands and he dug down. And within just a few minutes, he found this black sheeting. And a detective, Brian Barry from the Technical Bureau, told him to stop immediately, basically get out of the house. Their work was done. Gardaí then took over and investigated the case.
But he knew it was important work that he was setting about to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And what happened in that house over those small number of days took a long time to actually happen. But when the experts got into that house, they found Tina Satchwell quite quickly.
On Wednesday, Richard Satchwell will be sentenced to life in prison for murder. But the hearing will also be an opportunity to shift the focus from him to Tina, whose life was taken away by him. And that'll be an important part of this story too, that her story is told in court.
And I think the start of Tina's story, in a sense, began after the verdict, when her family, the Dingovan family, came out and stood outside court and spoke about the Tina they knew and the Tina she was, not the Tina that Richard Satchwell had claimed had attacked him and had subjected him to violence. There was no evidence other than his word of that. And the Dingovan family spoke about the Tina that they knew and loved and missed. And we'll hear more of that next Wednesday. I suppose the truth about Tina.
Okay, Barry, thank you very much for joining us today. And Barry will have a special programme on the murder of Tina Satchwell on Prime Time on Tuesday night at 9:35.